From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in Paul's Epistle to the Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of the Let the Bible Speak radio ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Psalm 22 and verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We here behold the Savior in the depth of his sorrows. No other place so well shows the griefs of Christ as Calvary, and no other moment at Calvary is so full of agony as that in which his cry rends the air, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? At this moment, physical weakness was united with acute mental torture from the shame and ignominy through which he had to pass. And to make his grief culminate with emphasis, he suffered spiritual agony surpassing all expression, resulting from the departure of his Father's presence. This was the black midnight of his horror. Then it was that he descended the abyss of suffering. No man can enter into the full meaning of these words. Some of us think at times that we could cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? There are seasons when the brightness of our Father's smile is eclipsed by clouds and darkness. But let us remember that God never does really forsake us. It is only a seeming forsaking with us. But in Christ's case, it was a real forsaking. We grieve at a little withdrawal of our Father's love. But the real turning away of God's face from His Son, who shall calculate how deep the agony which it caused Him? In our case, our cry is often dictated by unbelief. In His case, it was the utterance of a dreadful fact, for God had really turned away from Him for a season. O thou poor distressed soul, who once lived in the sunshine of God's face, but art now in darkness, remember that He has not really forsaken thee. God in the clouds is as much our God as when He shines forth in all the luster of His grace. But since even the thought that He has forsaken us gives us agony, what must the woe of the Savior have been when He exclaimed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?
From home.
In the 18th chapter of Luke's Gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ presented a parable to the end that men ought always to pray and not to faint. If ever there was a time when believers in the Lord Jesus Christ needed to pray, surely it is now. The moral condition of our land, the apparent powerlessness of our churches, cry out for God's people to seek the Lord earnestly for revival. To encourage true Christians in the urgent need to pray, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer, free of charge, copies of a powerful message by Jonathan Edwards, one of the greatest Christian leaders and thinkers this country has ever produced. The title is typical of Edwards' time, a humble attempt to promote explicit agreement and visible union of God's people in extraordinary prayer for the revival of religion and advancement of Christ's kingdom on earth. Don't let the title put you off. This is a message for this hour. In a 20-page booklet form, Edwards' sermon calls upon believers to unite in earnest prayer for God to come in reviving power upon His church. The great revivals of history have always come as the result of fervent prayer, sometimes on the part of just a few Christians who were burdened to seek God for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in revival power. That power is still available for those who will seriously seek it. To obtain your free copy of this message, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you wish, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, and ask for Edwards on Prayer. The address again is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Ask for the message Edwards on Prayer, and we'll be happy to send you a free copy. Today's broadcast, Dr. Cairns will continue a message called The Holy Logic of Free Grace, part of this series of studies in the Epistle to the Romans. The text is found in chapter 8, verses 12 and 13, in which the Apostle Paul shows the result of a person's having been justified by faith in Christ. Because a believer in Christ has been delivered from the damnation of sin, he feels an obligation to live as sinless a life as possible. In this sense, the believer is a debtor to God's grace and mercy. As Dr. Cairns has emphasized, justification leads to holiness. Having been justified, the believer is not to be ruled by the flesh. Rather, in every area of life, he is to be governed by the Holy Spirit. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, The Holy Logic of Free Grace.
The logical conclusion of grace is godliness. Paul says, therefore, here's the general truth. God justified us so that we would become holy. Justification, indeed, is the ground on which the Spirit now works to sanctify us. Here we find in the verses that just before our text, that He gave us the Holy Spirit as what? The source of spiritual life. The Spirit is life because of Christ's righteousness. And understand that connection. Because we have the imputed righteousness of Christ and all the merits of the Savior applied to our hearts by the Holy Ghost, that is life. The Spirit of God does not produce death. The Spirit of God does not produce depravity. The Spirit of God does not produce disobedience to God's law. The Spirit of God does not lead into the wickedness of the flesh. The Spirit of God is life. But that life is on the basis of our justification on the merits of the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he says, we are debtors. I trust you get the meaning of this. Our deliverance places us in debt. Our deliverance, our justification, places upon us the obligation to live in the Spirit and to be holy. Now, Paul actually puts it negatively. He says, you are not debtors to the flesh. In the simplest way of putting that, not saying you're Christians. You don't owe the flesh anything. This word debtors in the New Testament, just as in everyday English, very easily carries the idea of the feeling of obligation because someone has done good to you or someone has shown you favor. Many a time in your own life you'll feel, well, I'm obliged to do this. I'm obliged to enter into a certain course of action because that person has been so good to me. They have done all this for me. I must do something now for them. That's the way we feel our debt. And it can be a bad thing, because people can do good to you and then demand something rotten from you in return. And you ought not to do it. But all things being equal, it is a good thing when you have a favor from someone, you feel obliged to be pleasing to that person. The New Testament speaks of this in the same way. For example, in Romans chapter 15, verses 26 and 27, we read of the Christians in Macedonia and Achaia, and they had determined that they would have a collection of money, and they would make a contribution to the poor saints which were at Jerusalem. It pleased them. Verily, says Paul, and then he adds this in Romans 15:27. It pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them incarnate. So the idea of being a debtor has often in it the idea of doing something in the light of a favor bestowed. But Paul is saying, look, the flesh has never done you any favors. Go to Romans chapter 6, verse 21. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. Look at Romans chapter 7 and verse 5. He says, for when we were in the flesh, the motions of sin, which were by the law, did work in our members, in our body, to bring forth fruit unto death. The flesh has never done us any favors. The flesh has brought the misery and the corruption of sin. The flesh has left a trail of devastation and death. And Paul is saying, look, even in your unsaved days, the flesh did nothing but bring you to the gates of hell. You don't owe it anything. And furthermore, it has no right to rule over you. That's a big part of Paul's teaching here. We're not debtors to the flesh. It has no right to rule in the life of a Christian. There are two conceivable ways of looking at flesh here. John Brown mentioned both of them. He said, viewed as the equivalent to man's animal or sentient nature. That animal life that's in a man, looking at the flesh like that. You know, we have feelings. The sentient nature is just a way of talking about your senses, the things you feel. Looking at the flesh at that very basic level, it's to be governed and guided. It's one thing to feel hungry. It's another thing to live in gluttony. It's one thing to feel thirsty. Another thing to become an alcoholic. In other words, even at this idea, at this level of thinking of the fleshly nature, the natural feelings and desires of the body are to be governed and guided. Let me stop there for a minute. There's a lesson that every Christian ought to learn. We are not to be governed in our lives even by the natural desires of the flesh. So simple to say that. I don't want to become offensively explicit, but I would to God that Christian men particularly would learn that. Or maybe it's not particularly. I would to God that Christian women would learn it too. There are desires of the body. There are needs of the body. Even of a sexual nature that are natural and a God-given gift. But let any man simply say, I have to fulfill, I have to indulge, I have to gratify. And he'll do anything. He'll rationalize pornography. And the scandal of church life in America today is that you have Christian men, young men, middle-aged men, old men, glued to the filth of hell in their own homes, in their places of business. What's happening is they're allowing a natural desire to dominate where it ought to be governed. That there is in the expression of every natural desire, there is a legitimate fulfillment of it within the area that God Himself has ordained, outside of which it becomes sin. In every case. I said it's not only the man. I'm preaching to the choir in many places here, in many respects here, should I say. But it's certainly true in most places, even among Christians. Women want to look beautiful. And I say amen to that. I have no particular penchant for ugly femininity or for prolipy women who don't care how they look. So let me clear that out of the way. I have no bother with ladies who want to look their best. But they ought not to be immorally dressed. They ought not to be immodestly dressed. They ought not to be provocatively dressed. Natural desire ought not to govern, should be held under the guidance, the dominion of the Spirit through the Word. What does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? I saw a young woman, very highly educated young woman, an American. She became a convert to Islam. Well, maybe she was Islamic to start with. But she began to look into what she said she believed, and why what she believed is certainly not the truth. that I have to say I would to God that I saw that spirit right across the Christian church. She's out there as a career woman in a high-powered position. And she wears the Muslim scarf. Everybody comes into her office, looks at her, and she's a queer-looking being. I don't care. I believe this is what I ought to do. I would just love for God's people to have the same guts in following truth. We are not debtors to the flesh in the sense of the natural passions and feelings of the body. But viewing the flesh as under the influence of depravity, it is not to be obeyed. Brown said it's to be resisted and mortified. The spirit alone is entitled to rule the man. Never forget that. The spirit alone is entitled to rule the man. Therefore, we are not debtors to the flesh. But the unspoken thought here is we are debtors to God and His grace. That's why we sang those words tonight in our opening hymn. And then again in our final hymn. Robert Robinson in Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing speaks of us as being debtors. A debtor to mercy alone, Top Lady said. That's where we are. We are debtors to God's mercy. Listen, do we not, every one of us, bow before God and say we've received from Him the greatest favor? Grace has granted favor upon favor. Grace is the favor of God to us. Without getting into the linguistics and how the Bible uses the words linguistically, grace and mercy, they're both aspects of the goodness of God. The old theologians used to say, grace is the goodness of God addressing the guilt of sin. Mercy is the goodness of God addressing the misery of sin. When you put them together, we have great favor from the Lord dealing with the totality of the wickedness and the depravity and the guilt and the lost estate into which Adam's sin brought us. We owe everything to grace. We owe everything to the merits of Christ. And everything to the Holy Spirit sovereignly taking those merits of Christ and applying them to our heart. We owe everything to the work of the triune God. Now, says Paul, you're debtors to God. You're debtors to grace. You're debtors to Christ. You're debtors to the cross. You're debtors to the blood. You're debtors to the Spirit of God who regenerated you, who convicted you of your sin, who created a saving faith within your heart. You're debtors to God and to grace. Therefore, you should live for God by grace in submission to the Holy Ghost.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcma.org. That's www.fpcma.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.